This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Franklin and Idalia. That's the two names to worry about. Hurricanes, both of them, one on the East Coast, one in the Gulf, barreling toward Florida. Although Franklin will barely skirt, it looks like, Florida. Different story when it comes to Idalia. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I am right in the middle of all of this with the rest of you who are wondering what's going to happen and looking at the models. I'll tell you what, I lived in Texas and dodged some tornadoes and went through that and helped people who went through tornadoes. I lived in California and it was mudslides and wildfires. No kidding. And now here we go again with the hurricane. It seems so fast after Ian and what happened with Fort Myers and some of those surrounding areas, how devastated they were, the 41 people who died as a result of storm surge, because that is what is also threatened here. So here is the latest that I know, and I've been following this and talking to people all day long. It's about filling up sandbags and making decisions on whether to evacuate and certain areas where there is mandatory evacuations and whether people are going to heed those warnings or not. But the storm is forecast to land in the U.S. as the first major hurricane of the 2023 Atlantic season, moving closer to the Gulf of Florida on Monday night. So there's a lot of preparations that are happening. I know for myself that I was up at 6:30 in the morning running to Lowe's because they were holding some sandbags for me, the kind that the water hits and they, you know, inflate and they're filled and they're really good. And it was like a mad dash. There were so many people that by the time the doors open, etc., there were so many people running around grabbing. I think they're just grabbing things like flashlights and any kind of packing material and shovels and all of that. Gas stations were flooded because people were just in lines wrapped around the block, and then there were gas stations where they didn't have any gas. So altogether, Hurricane Ian killed 150 people altogether. 150 people. And it was very familiar looking and watching what happened here. They're telling people, do not be complacent. Don't get relaxed. Don't think that you can blow this off. Be prepared to do what you have to do. So it looks like the storm is going to come ashore in the Big Bend area toward Tallahassee to the north of Tampa, in that kind of area, but there's that thing called the dirty side of it, and that could hit that Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, all of those areas. And every time they've been updating it on Monday, you keep hearing it's getting stronger, it's getting stronger. So there's 5,500 members of the National Guard that have been deployed. There's emergency utility crews that are out there getting ready to fix power lines. They're outside of the borders even of Florida, close to where the areas are happening. I know I probably passed, no kidding, 25 trucks today. So Idalia is expected to just be something that could be horrible in those low-lying areas, could become a hurricane at any time, and it gets fueled by those abnormally warm waters and could strengthen rapidly and make landfall as a Category 3. And, you know, you're looking at that really happening on Wednesday, Tuesday night into that Tuesday overnight and into Wednesday. And then you have Hurricane Franklin on the Atlantic side, not really expected to pose a serious threat to land. Not like what we're talking about, Idalia being 12 feet of storm surge in Big Bend. None of that. None of where the peninsula curves, and that's what that Big Bend area is. But on the other side, just skirting the coast, skirting the coast is the way that it's looking, right? And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the hurricanes are becoming more powerful. And you look at the holding the moisture, that's the thing that you get concerned about. The rainfall, like Hurricane Harvey in Texas in 2017, where you had some areas that got 40 inches of rain in less than 48 hours. Here, they're not talking about that. Here, they're talking about that it won't swerve around and just stay there and taunt the area. It'll move on, right? But again, you never know. You have to look at the worst case scenarios. And that having a storm surge during a high tide is when it can be really destructive. That would mean 4 to 7 feet of surge for the Tampa Bay area. That's the thing. When you look at St. Pete, when you look at Tampa, when you look at all of that, people are putting up storm shutters. People are doing the things that you do. By the way, the airport's closed. So Tampa International, done. St. Pete, Clearwater, done. I mean, they close on Tuesday. They are closed. So everybody that was flying in or out, those flights had to be re-racked at this point. And it's just a question of watching this and looking at what happens and what becomes of it, right? In the meantime, there's some other things that are, of course, going on around the country, and that's what we talk about here on the show. What affects you in your backyard and mine? And we're always so horrified when we hear about these shootings because it just feels too commonplace. That's what it is. It's too commonplace. At Chapel Hill, UNC, huge campus. You had students that for over 3 hours were locked in lockdown in classrooms, and they were warned that there was an armed, dangerous person. And then the suspect this time did not kill themselves, did not go down in a gun shootout with the police. Instead, they went out of the campus in a car in handcuffs, but fatally shot somebody of the faculty in a lab at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, on Monday. The good news, like I said, is they got the calls right away. They heard that the shots had been fired. It was a science building on campus, and immediately scurried, got there, and that was it. So it's truly tragic, but it was not a case where there were more people that were shot. But, you know, classes just resumed on the 21st after summer break. So, you know, you get that kind of sleepiness of starting back again, and then this happened. So it's, as they described it, students, it was terrifying because they're barricaded with a bookcase. The lights are off. Their phones are silenced. They're on the ground. They have no idea what's going on for 3 hours until they get the all clear. The good news is that there is the good news of not a campus where a lot of people had been shot, but still a terrible, terrible thing. And while they were trying to find the shooter, the whole thing that was being pumped out is, we're going to protect the UNC campus, we're taking all the precautions, we're following the protocol. What a tragic way to start a new semester. And absolutely, I certainly agree with that. Anybody who goes through something like that, it is incredibly traumatic. All right, coming up, the Man Cave, the U.S. Open underway in New York, the NFL getting ready to start. Preseason is over. It's time for the real stuff pretty soon.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney. @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Dive right on in. I love records. That's what I like about sports. And another one happened. To me, one of the coolest things in baseball is to see somebody hit for the cycle. That happened for Jose Altuve from the Houston Astros. The second baseman had his 9th cycle in franchise history anyway. So he's having a great year, and this was a big one for him. First one since the franchise's first one since 2013, a blowout win against the Boston Red Sox. He doubled in the third, singled in the fifth, tripled in the sixth, then homered in the eighth. He drove in 4 runs. How about that? Pretty exciting to, it is pretty exciting when you're watching it and you see that happen, because it's such a big feat to think about being able to do that. And when you're watching it, it's your team, it is something. So good for him, for sure. What else is going on in the world of sports? Well, yeah, we have this thing called the NFL starting up. So fantasy teams, it's a big weekend coming up, Labor Day. That means there's a lot of drafts that have happened or are happening. And we, of course, are doing Nail the Score again this year. That starts when the regular season starts. And it's hard to believe that we are just on the doorstep of that, right? Week 1, September 7th through the 12th. Oof. Cleaning up what is left in preseason games to me. Yeah, right? I don't know. It's good for somebody who needs the time. Somebody who needs the time to maybe get on the special teams, leave an impression, that kind of thing. But let's get into the real stuff. So, again, things kick off on Thursday, September 7th. The Lions and the Chiefs. So next week we'll do the Nail the Score thing. It's on Tuesday in our final segment of our first hour. the Panthers and the Falcons on Sunday, the Bengals and the Browns, the Buccaneers and the Vikings. I'm just throwing out a couple of the interesting games. It's in the beginning, who knows, right? So at Foxborough, the Eagles are taking on the Patriots, the Cowboys and the Giants. That's always fun at MetLife. And Dallas is actually favored by 3.5 in that one. The Monday night one is a good one, too. You have a New York rivals, the Bills and the Jets. And what's cool about that is, of course, there's the major switch with the Jets. So many new faces on that Jets franchise with some younger faces. But Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, Buffalo is favored by two. So Jets fans can't wait to see the real thing. And I can't either. And then, of course, in college football, we're here. I mean, you know, you look at what the start of college football has been like. You know, USC easily dispatching San Jose State, of course, 56-28. How about Notre Dame? No love for Navy. I mean, you knew Notre Dame was going to probably crush them, but 42-3, that happened on Saturday. Sam Hartman, 4 touchdown passes. So number 13, Notre Dame, opening in Ireland. So you know the Irish went crazy for this. In Ireland with the crushing of Navy. On Thursday, Florida and Utah in Salt Lake City. Michigan and on Saturday, Michigan and East Carolina. For some people, I know we have Michigan fans, so in Ann Arbor, they're favored by 36 points, but it's always fun to see the start of the season. Some of the more interesting games, I think, that start off the season would include Washington and Boise State. Washington's favored by a couple of touchdowns in that one. Boise State can always play spoiler, even if this is at Husky Stadium in Seattle. You also have Wisconsin and Buffalo. Now, Wisconsin is a heavy favorite in this, but Buffalo has a pretty decent roster, so it might be a little more competitive. Number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Easy peasy for them. It's like, what are they favored by? The line is off the charts. They're playing UT Martin. You also have, I think, a good one in this, or back in the day it would be a good one, but Texas A&M, they're in the top 25, taking on New Mexico. That happens at College Station. And so you have kind of those powerhouse teams and other teams getting exposure. So probably the best game on the board, actually, on Sunday, Florida State takes on LSU. That's 8-5. Florida State 8 and LSU 5. So think about that. LSU is favored by 2.5 in that game. 2.5. That's a good game. And then I think another good game could be that Duke-Clemson game. Clemson is favored by a little less than 2 touchdowns, but Duke could be troublesome, and this is in Durham, North Carolina. So probably the best of the best, though, is that one, is the LSU-Florida State one, and then the North Carolina-South Carolina game, which is just a classic between those two, and UNC is favored just by 2.5. points in that game. In the world of tennis at the U.S. Open, you have Novak Djokovic, who won in straight sets, so he goes to the second round of the U.S. Open. He is the guy who's amassing he's going to be the GOAT as far as trophies are concerned for how many majors he's amassed. Coco Gauff, who is an American hopeful. She's 19. She's been fun to watch lately. She was down a set on day one of the U.S. Open, and then she ends up in a crazy 30.25-plus minute game. That's just a game to begin the second set. And that whole match that she ended up winning was almost 3 hours long. She beat a German qualifier who's like 120 something in the world, and Coco's in the top 10. Laura Siegmann 866-866-3664. And it was interesting to watch that one because it was closer than I think most people thought it would be. But that's the thing with tennis. Sometimes there can be somebody who surprises you, and they click on to what is happening across the net, and then that's it. You know, one and done. You lose, you're done, you're out. And that's how it works money-wise, too. There might be big money at the end of the tournament and as you move along, but you got to get past those first couple of rounds. So right now, there are a lot of Americans that are still involved in this and trying to move through, like Danielle Collins from St. Petersburg, Florida. She can be incredible, and she had a straight set win, 6-2, 6-love. So there are people to watch, and on the men's side, same thing. There are a lot of Americans that look pretty good. So if you're a tennis fan, you're liking like Ben Shelton. He moved through in the first round in four sets. That was good. And then you've got Francis Tiafo, who is in the top 10. He's number 10, ranked number 10 against another American. Straight set win for him in the first round. As we get deeper into this, more deets on some of those, certainly on some of those Americans. But like I said, a lot of focus on the NFL because, look, this is the tail end of this. This is cuts are being made, teams are being solidified. I mean, that can always change. But this is where we get to that point where this is the real deal. There's possibilities of some trades that are happening. The world's largest tailgate is planned for that opener that I talked about. Imagine what that would be like. You think of the Kansas City Chiefs and their rabid fans, and I can see how they would come out for that on the 7th. So it's outside of Arrowhead Stadium. That's what they're calling it. That's what they're calling it, the world's largest tailgate. And there's a lot of entertainers, I guess, that are going to take part in whatever happens out there. And so you got internet personalities, you got kind of a little bit of everything. But NFL football is back, and the Chiefs president said, we wanted to do something big. There's actually even virtual seats that you can reserve online. So if you want to be part of the world's largest tailgate, you can do it virtually. There you go. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, Tracy Davidson. You're going to like what she has to say. An interesting author next.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. Tropical Storm Idalia is marching toward Florida. Luke Strickland with Florida's Emergency Management Agency says all the models are saying Idalia is getting stronger.
We project this to be a Category 3 major hurricane, 115-mile-per-hour winds heading towards Florida's Big Bend area, north of Tampa Bay all the way up to the Big Bend.
Idalia will make landfall on Florida's Gulf Coast by early Wednesday morning. Maui Police Chief John Pelletier is responding to criticism about barricades that were set up in Lahaina. Some reports reports say the barricades caused traffic congestion, trapping more people in the town as it burned on August 8th. Pelletier says there were barricades, but only in areas where there was already extreme danger. American Airlines is being hit with the largest ever fine for keeping passengers waiting on the tarmac. The Department of Transportation is fining the airline more than $4 million for long delays with passengers. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
And is written by Tracy L. Davidson. And she joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And I have such a love for birds. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that has become like my hobby in the last couple of years between Texas and Florida. And so her book was a definite must-have for me, and I think for many of you, too, as well. And wait till you hear her story and how this all started. And you think of kids and birds and having kids really being able to identify birds and understand them, like eagles and pelicans and hummingbirds and, you know, so much more. So, Tracy, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for having me.
So tell me the road to writing this book. What was the motivation?
It was primarily my father-in-law and also my children. My father-in-law, when the kids were very small, would tease the kids as toddlers and tell them that, you know, I'm going to get that feather out of your nose or feather out of your ear. And, of course, they would giggle and all that and try to steal feathers out of his nose and ears and everything. And then by the time they were about 8 and 10 years of age, it was Thanksgiving Day, and we were driving to my in-laws for the big dinner. And I just had this itch to write, and I asked my daughter for a piece of paper. She handed it to me, and I don't know why, but I thought, hey, kids, if you could be any bird, three birds, what would they be? And they responded, and I just started writing. So, you know, the turkey feathers thing just sort of sparked that interest, and I was really surprised by what birds my kids chose, but that really was just driving on a Thanksgiving Day morning was what really started my writing about this book.
Yeah, and it's so funny, the three birds. So I want everybody to think about that that's listening to our conversation. I'm going to tell you mine. Owl, hummingbird, brown pelican.
That is so funny because that's, you know, my daughter basically did the same thing. It was, you know, the hummingbird, the pelican, and, you know, except that she, her third bird was the toucan.
Ooh.
So, yeah, the toucan. And that surprised the heck out of me. I was like, where did that come from? But I went with it, you know?
Yeah, I like that. So what's also really cool, and you talk about this in the preface, and you and I talked about this off air, all this conversation happened way back in 2008. And then what's so crazy, does everybody remember the floppy disk? You found it, and then this turned into the book, right?
Yeah, the floppy disk actually was both a godsend and a curse, because I used it to save chapters as I started writing my book. But when I got to chapter 6, and I wanted to print that chapter out after I had written it, the doggone file corrupted and I lost it all. And I was just devastated beyond, repair, and I stopped writing. And clearly I stopped writing for years. I just couldn't get my mojo back. I couldn't think, how in the world am I going to recreate this chapter? And it wasn't until now my daughter's growing up and everything, and she's the one who pushed me to try it, rewriting it. And I don't know how, but I think I came out with a better chapter. But I tell you what, that's a long road to having a writer's block.
Yeah, but it's really tough, too, when you're disappointed and you just can't get it back. It gets corrupted. And I want to make sure people understand, like, Two Feathers is cool, how it's laid out, because you weave in storytelling. I mean, that's what it is. You talk about, like, for example, in the very beginning, you talk about Finnegas. Tell us the story of Finnegas, because I think that will set up the rest of the book for everybody.
Well, I don't even know where his name came out of my head, but it just did. And I just decided that, you know, I wanted to make this kind of, my kids the star of the story and make it magical. And, you know, my daughter's spotting this owl and she's just thinking it's, oh, cool, there's an owl in our backyard and everything. But he turns out to be this wizard owl. And, he talks to them and hands a feather each. One to each child and everything, and says a chant that they can, if they say this chant, they can become any bird that they want, but only one child can be a bird at a time, because how in the heck will you become a child again if both of you are birds? And so I thought of this thing about, well, in order to become a child again, you got to pluck a feather from that sibling in order to become a child again. And that's kind of how it lays out and everything. It makes it interesting in terms of, how do I catch my sibling feathered friend to be able to pluck a feather?
Yes, absolutely. That makes it interesting. And in these chapters, as you go through and read the chapters, and this is, by the way, kids can read this, mid school age, middle school, and adults. So I think adults, too. And you have pictures there, like you have pictures in the book. Where did they come from?
I just thought in my head, if I'm going to be reading this book and I want kids to equate what that bird looks like, what is a good representation of that bird? And so I really searched carefully to try to find something that would really represent that bird, so that way they'd have that picture in their mind as they read that chapter. And so, you know, nowadays, the internet is a great thing and stuff. And so I really did a fine-tooth search until I found something that I like and that I thought kids and my readers would like.
Yeah. For you, what was it like actually seeing this book after everything you went through come out?
Oh, my Lord. I was more than, you know, just... It really internalized in me that, oh, my God, this is real. You know, everybody had been pushing me, my family had been pushing me to get it published. And when I actually had it in my hand, I actually cried. I was like, oh, my God, I really did it. I actually wrote this thing. I actually see it in paper, in book form, like I would buy in a bookstore and everything. And it just was surreal, just absolutely surreal, but... a wonderful feeling. I just kind of hugged my book when I first got it, to be honest with you. It was really definitely a labor of love that came to fruition.
Yeah. For you, what is your absolute hands-down favorite bird?
The hummingbird. The hummingbird is my absolute hands-down favorite. I just love the delicateness of them, the tiny feathers, how quick they can go. They can hover like a helicopter. They can go backwards, forwards, up, down. And they're just amazing tiny creatures. And I don't know. I have a tattoo on my right calf of a hummingbird. And so, you know, it's hovering there for life. But so definitely the hummingbird is my ultimate favorite.
It's so interesting, and I have to mention your background because the road to writing the book and raising your kids, I mean, listen, CrossFit, you're a motorcycle person, I mean, you've got a lot going on.
Oh, absolutely. I don't stop. I'm learning how to play the mandolin. I definitely like to stay in shape. I've had two partial knee replacements, so that kind of sort of pushed me to stay in shape. But I've always been active since I was a tadpole myself. And, you know, I just like to continue to do things that are, you know, that people may not think that I do. I mean, I crochet, too. I mean, I can be as sedentary as you want me to be, but I can definitely be as active as well. So... yeah, just trying to live my best life.
I love it. Live your best life. So in the end, and you're weaving it into the conversation, but what do you hope people take away, kids or adults take away from Two Feathers?
I think that things are not always as they seem. It's a great thing to think, oh, my God, wouldn't it be fun to be a hummingbird, or wouldn't it be fun to be an eagle? I mean, the eagle is such a majestic bird, but what perils... you know, do they actually live? And, you know, in kind of being in the life of one of those birds, you find out real quick that maybe things are not always as they seem, but also that, you know, being as the two kids, you know, they're siblings, and they're learning that, you know, they need to love each other and maybe just look out for each other. So I think I hope that others see how I... you know, manage to weave that in there, and they come away with some of those same kind of feelings.
Yeah, it's just the stories, the pictures. I mean, you really feel like you're in the moment and you're there as well. You also have a website. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but you have a blog. Tell everybody the website.
That is 2-feathers.org, T-W-O-feathers.org. And it'll have some pictures of me. It'll have a little bit about me. It'll have, you know, a store, you know, area where you can purchase the book. You can, you know, write any comments or anything on the blog, and I'll respond and all. But it's just intended for you all to just, you know, explore and
Enjoy,
I hope. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect place to end this. Tracy Davidson, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I hope anybody else out there that tries to dive into this book enjoys it as much as I had the fun writing it.
That's a great thought. Absolutely. Tracy, thank you.
Thank you.
Open up the sky. I'm coming up to you. So send down your wings and let them bring me to you. You know I'm standing at the station, ready to go. Oh, the old aeroplane, I'm trusting your soul. Get on up, big bird.
Hey, guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Boy, these are two really special people, and their story is, I think, one that has some pretty interesting takeaways, not just for kids, by the way, but I think for older people as well. And the book we're talking about is Young Vikings and the Quest for Asgard. So think about Vikings and think about what you can conjure up in your mind, and you might be totally wrong about what the book's about. But we're going to find out as we talk to the Hardens. Susan and Scott Harden join us. They have such an interesting background. Susan's a school counselor, and Scott teaches all the sciences, so I would have probably been a very bad student for him, but I would have tried really hard. It's so lovely to have you both on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you very much for having us.
So let's talk about what was the impetus for this book. And Scott, let's start with you, because you had an interesting story to tell me off the air about how this all came about. So why did this book materialize?
Kate, it was a story I had in my mind, and it wasn't enough story to be a book, but it was kind of the beginnings of a book. And I spent 2 to 3 years writing the story down, just in legal pads. And I wrote a little each day, and I would write and think of something else and write a little bit more. But I had that story in mind, and the characters began to evolve with the personalities of my own children. As that happened, I kind of finished up getting down the main idea of the story and asked my wife to read it and look at it and see what she thought. And she began to embellish on a lot of the details and do a lot of research to make things I guess, more accurate, historically accurate, and mythologically accurate, as it is based a lot in Norse mythology.
So, Susan, for you, when you got involved in this project and you did the research, what did you find out? Was there anything that surprised you in that research?
I think the one thing that surprised me is they didn't have horns on their helmets. That was the one thing that surprised me.
No kidding, because that's how we always visualize it, certainly, and there's always so many pictures that depict that, and obviously that isn't right. So tell us about, Susan, tell us about the story.
Well, it's about three children, and their village is attacked, and they can't find their parents. They actually see them being taken off, and so they decide, instead of sitting around, they decide to go on a quest to find their parents and to find Asgard and get them back. And through that journey, they come across different characters, and they learn different things from each event. And then when they get there, they have to fight the gods to get their parents back. But the way they fight the gods is with
intellect rather than muscle.
It's a battle of wits.
Ooh, a battle of wits. I like it. It had to be fun to write this. Was it fun to pull this together, Scott, and especially as you said, and, you know, Susan backs up, so much of this is based on your own kids. What a cool thing.
Susan often remarks, I'll laugh suddenly just for no apparent reason. She says, are you making yourself laugh over there? And that's kind of the way it was when I was writing the book. I'd write down something, and then I would kind of laugh at it and be amused and go back and read through it, and then I'd laugh again. She said, what in the world are you laughing at? But then she would read it and find the humor in what I've written, which hopefully translates to other people as well.
Yeah, and I think it does, absolutely, from my point of view. Susan, so I'm going to ask you both this, but what do you hope the takeaways are for any children who read this, or like I said before, adults could read this as well. What do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I hope they relate to each of the children have different personalities. So I'm hoping they can relate to at least one of them, if not more of them, and how they come together and how they work together to go on this quest and how they pull from each other's strengths. I don't want to give too much away.
That's right. You have to buy the book. Get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. So, Scott, would you just add to that and say kind of the same thing, right?
I would. I think that people should see a sense of family with these siblings and the love that they had for their parents and their parents have for them. And that should be evident, I think.
So when I think about what you both do for a living, and I think about when I was a kid, what it would be like if my counselor or my science teacher wrote a book. Are you like rock stars in school?
I don't know.
You know, it's funny because somebody asked me what I had to do this afternoon, another teacher, and I said, well, I'm going to go home. And then he said something about a Viking. And I said, you know, it's funny you say that because that's what I'm doing this afternoon. I have an interview about our book. In hopes, you know, of promoting it to be transformed into a movie. And he said, you know, we've been teaching together for 15 years. I've never heard anything about this before. And I said, well, you know, I just don't like to count my chickens before they're hatched, so to speak. I haven't really promoted it. I don't think I've told I don't think I've told anybody but you today. I might have mentioned it to our librarians a few years ago, but
I've told a few, and when they find out, they're interested. They're like, oh, really? Tell me more about it. And I tell them, and then I'm like, okay, here, this is where you go to find it and buy it, you know.
Right.
And I think they're interested. They're interested in the story, and I think they're interested in that we actually took the step to put our thoughts in a book and to create this story together.
Yeah.
I agree. The people I've mentioned it to, that seems to be what they're most impressed with, is that you didn't just start a book, you finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and had an idea.
And you did it together, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this, I can only see this adventure continuing to grow. And I asked you this off the air, but Susan, do you see more books in the future?
Definitely. He usually writes the foundation of it, and I'd love to see what he comes up with. And then, of course, he is great to let me throw my input in there, and it evolves. And I'd love to go on another adventure and write another book.
I like that. That's a good answer. And I would imagine the kids would enjoy it, too, because that's important here. What do the kids think of the book?
Well, our daughter, actually, she was in the car on traveling, and she said, I'm going to read the book. And she read it a few years earlier, but she read it again, and she laughed outside, out loud, and then she cried at the end of it.
Aww.
Not that it's sad at the end, just she cried because she was just so moved by it.
Right, and I love that. And I guess it was Scott that mentioned this, because the first thing that pops into my head, too, is that it's the family, right? And that you're using wits, and you mentioned that. It's using the wits instead of brawn, because naturally that's what you think of. But yet it's so often wits that get you out of certain circumstances. And both of you know that as teachers. Am I right about that? What a brilliant stroke there. Was that your idea, Scott?
It's just sort of the way the story evolved.
So when you sat down and you put that foundation together before you slid it over to Susan, who then went to work on it, digging around and adding some of the history and making sure it was all right, you just kind of knew, boom, this is good. This is going to work.
Right. And if you think, you know, if these gods existed, you know, Thor and Odin and all of these different deities, that, you know, a mortal could not compete with them physically without being able to outwit them some way.
And yeah. Then the children on top of it.
Right.
Right, right. Because what you think about children, what would they do? What would be the natural instinct for them to do? And I think it's interesting because it's the opposite of Marvel, for example. But yet they still have to use their wits, but they have the brawn. So I love the idea of these young Vikings in the quest for Asgard and going on this adventure and waiting to see, you know, what happens next. And so you obviously enjoy doing this together, right?
Yes, we do.
Very much.
That's a good thing. What if you disagree on a character? Do you just kind of, do you flip for it or do you play a game of Uno?
I don't know. I think we kind of explain, well, this is what I'm seeing. And he says, well, this is what I see in the character and this is why. And we're like, oh, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. You know, we just talk about it. We've been married 30 years, you know, it just.
It's all the same anyway.
That's good. It's good. I love your story. And this is such an interesting tale. Young Vikings and the Quest for Asgard. I mentioned it before, but you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you both very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kate,
thanks
very
for
much.
Having us.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.